Well, good morning. I want to welcome you along with Josh to Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're here for our 11 o'clock service. I want to welcome those who are watching online. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to conclude our It's Legal series throughout 2019. We have been taking on topics that we believe that individuals as well as society has been wrestling with. And so what we're trying to do is look at them from a biblical worldview and walk through these topics, these subjects, and we're trying to give you what we believe God says in his word about these subjects. So far we've talked about abortion, we've talked about drugs and alcohol, we've talked about divorce, and if you've not had a chance to view those or listen to them, I encourage you to download that. And you can either listen to it by podcast or you can watch it online, the video. Today we're going to be talking about a tough topic. We're going to be talking about transgender, sexual identity, homosexuality. And I understand today, in today's culture, it's an extremely difficult discussion to have. And today it's almost like if I could take a pass on a subject, this would be the subject I would take a pass on. And the reason for that is this. I can talk about a lot of things. I can talk about infidelity. I can talk about fornication, I can talk about lying and cheating and stealing, whatever I want to talk about from God's word. And most people don't start like attacking you for having a position on it. But what you find in this subject is that oftentimes people will admittedly go to this go-to and they'll say this, you're a hater or you're a homophobe. I want you to know that in our family, we grew up, I had an aunt that was gay back in the day. Always had someone in the family that was gay. And at the time when I was growing up, you never talked about it. And so we've had it in our family. I also want you to know that at every one of our campuses, we have people that attend that are in same-sex relationships. The people that attend this campus, I think they would tell you, and I know they would tell you because they told me after last service, I love them and they know I love them. One of the ladies that was here in the second service, she came up and hugged me and she was bawling. And she said this, she goes, everywhere I've gone, people have been mean to me, they've hated me, and I've physically been beaten. And here's a place I come and you love me. And so I want you to know that when I approach this subject, I approach it as one who I have a biblical position. I go to God's word as my authority. But I want you to know, I am not a hater and I'm not homophobic. In fact, we had a couple who invited another couple of same sex, they were married, and invited them to come to church. Over and over, they kept inviting them to come to church. And they said, we're not going to church because we know the way the church is going to treat us. And so I happened to be standing outside between services the first week they came, and I saw the family walking with this couple, and they came up and introduced me, and they looked at me like, okay, like, I was the devil, and I was going to do something really bad to them. And so I looked over, and I just gave him a huge hug, and I just said, I'm really glad you're here. I wish I had a camera. Like, I really do. I wish I had a camera for their face as they looked at it and said, seriously? And so I want you to know that we can disagree on things, and it doesn't make us hateful about it. Speaking the truth or standing for the truth and also standing for tolerance, I think, go hand in hand. I always want to be able to speak the truth in love, but tolerance is an important thing in our society. Some people don't like the concept. When we don't have tolerance in our day today, what happens is we have one group of people slaughtering another group of people because they don't have the same opinion. They don't agree. That's why Christians are being slaughtered all over the world, because they have a different religious belief, and therefore people just slaughter them. The problem is I don't see Jesus slaughtering people. I don't see him slaughtering groups of people. I see Jesus having compassion towards people, no matter where they're coming from in life, reaching out to them and serving them and love them. As long as I'm pastor of this church, and this is going to be a strong statement, we will set a tone in this church that when people walk through that door, no matter what their background is, no matter what kind of issues they've had in their life, as a church, my plan is that we will love them and we will serve them. Folks, you need to understand that. And so today when we talk about speaking the truth in love, I am really grateful that we attract people who are imperfect people. And we're here in the mission of helping them become more like Jesus, becoming less like this world and more like Jesus. At the heart of our mission, at the heart of everything we do, is life change. And so today, my goal is this, and as I prayed this morning before we got here, was this: God, I pray that our mission is making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ, and I pray that today's message will help us in accomplishing that goal. When we try to wrap our mind around sexual identity, it's really hard to wrap our mind around it because society has a hard time wrapping their mind about what does that mean. Facebook itself in 2014 had 18 different gender classifications or categories. 18. And what happened is Facebook got criticized because it wasn't enough. And so what they did is they backed off to try to make sure that they can make everybody happy. So now they have three categories, as I understand. They have you're either male, you're female, or there's custom, and you can create whatever you want to do and become whatever you want to become. And so things like this, terms that are like transgender, pangender, non-binary, intersex, gender queer, gender questioning, gender fluid, cisgender, bigender, and agender, and then two-spirited, are just to name a few of them. As a church, we have two categories. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ, and he is the Lord of their life, and he is their Savior. And those who have never accepted Christ as their Savior, and they're not following him in any way. Those are the two categories that we're looking at. So today we want to say things based upon people's race, on people's gender, on people's occupation, on people's social status, on whatever. And I want you to know this. When I stand before God someday, I'm not going to stand before him. He looks at you, why would I let you into my heaven? And I'm going to say, because I'm a white male who's an American citizen, and I was married, and I'm a pastor. You think that's going to get me through the gates? It comes down to what you do with Jesus. And so either you are a disciple of him or you are not a disciple of Christ. And you can define yourself any way you want to, or you can allow God to define you. The problem is when we define ourselves, we get to a place in our life where we say, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to categorize myself. When you start defining who you are, instead of allowing God to define you for who you are, it's very difficult to become what God wants you to be. Because it doesn't matter what God says. You're more interested in you being the captain of your ship and you doing what you want to do. People throughout the first couple centuries of the church would ask this question, is it true? They would look to the Bible and they would look to the story of Jesus and say, is it true? That was the most important question. Is what's written in here true? The problem is recently, people don't care whether this is true or not. The question they ask is this: is it good? Is this good? And what they mean by is this good is, does this line up to who I am and what I believe? Does it line up to what I think in my life? Because if it doesn't line up with what I believe, then this can't be good. They're not asking the question, is it true? So the elephant in the room is things to do with sexuality today. And I'm talking heterosexual and homosexual. It comes around sexuality. And so when people come in, they're not asking the question, is the book true? What they're asking is it good or does it agree with me? And what they're saying is, if it doesn't agree with me, then I'm going to reject it. It doesn't matter about Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. It doesn't matter if he died and if he rose again, because I reject it because it doesn't line up with what I believe. And so what happens is you become the ultimate authority. It's based upon what you see and not based upon what we see in God's word. So if you went to the museum in Washington, D.C. for the Bible, you would see a Bible there on display called the Negro Bible. It was written in 1808, which is the same year that Bridgewater started as a church. And this Bible, in the plaque, it says, parts of the Holy Bible selected for the use of Negro slaves in British West India Islands. And what's interesting is they call it the Holy Bible. However, they have ripped sections of the Bible out for a specific agenda. And that agenda was this: we want to keep slaves in their place. We want to keep them where they belong. to where they are owned by us and they do what we tell them to do. And so they took out stories like, you remember when Israel made the exodus out of Egypt when they were slaves? They took that all out of the Bible because they want the slaves to read about it. They didn't want them to get any ideas. They took out whole books of the Bible and they took out sections of other books to serve their purpose. They didn't want the slaves to get any idea of what it meant to be free. So it was a blatant mutilation of Scripture. Before we come together and set a date for the protest, isn't that what we are doing today with the Word of God? We may not take pages out of the Bible, we may not rip books out of the Bible, but what we do is we look at the Scripture and say, that's a part of the Bible that I don't accept. Because my question is not as if it's true, my question is it good? So is the Bible true and is it holy? If it's not true and if it's not holy, then how can you justify accepting any of it? But if it's true and if it's holy, then we have to use it as a way, as a precedent for life, that God has given us a blueprint for the way he wants us to live. And what we're trying to do throughout life is to come into conformity to what he's called us to. We all fall short, every single one of us. I fall short all the time. But the reality is this. My question is not, is it good? It's true. And how do I come into conformity to what God has called me to? I don't try to distort it, and I'm not trying to justify my sin. Sin is still sin, no matter what I think, no matter how I try to justify it. So, here's a couple things that I want you to know. Sex and gender are not your identity. Sex and gender are not your identity. Your identity is based upon Jesus Christ. Your identity is found in Christ. Your identity is found in the fact that you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. That is your identity. If I ask you this question, I am blank, what would you put in that blank? I am blank, what would that blank be filled with? Some people say, I'm an athlete. Some people would, I'm gay. I'm transgender. I'm straight. I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm an American citizen, I am what? If we are conformed to the image of Christ, if we've been saved by him because of his gift, I want you to know that you are a Christian. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The foundation to what Paul did in ministry, the foundation to the way Paul lived, the foundation of what Paul said was based upon his identity in Jesus Christ. That was the foundation for how he lived life. So when you say, I am, if you have been saved by the grace of God because of the crosswork of Jesus Christ, you say, I'm a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. And that is foundational to everything I do. Now, if that's foundational to what you do, you need to answer this question as well. When it comes to sexual identity, is sexuality based upon a biological reality, a personal choice, or is it based upon God's choice? What determines your identity? Is it your body? Is it your mind? Or is it God? You've got to answer that question. So if it's your body, there's a level that we are born with what we are. You can try to change it. You can try to manipulate it. But the reality is biologically, your body determined what you are. If it's your mind, then you can be anything you want to be. You can be black, white, tall, short. You can be a kitty cat or you can be a bulldozer. You can be anything you want in your mind. Here's the problem. Does your mind represent reality? Because for me, I can say, you know what? I'm a short black man. I am. In my mind, that's what I am. My mind has a tendency to skew reality. Why? Because the heart is deceitfully wicked. You know the whole thing? If you believe it, What are you going to do? You can't achieve it. Isn't that true? Yeah, if you believe it hard enough, you can do it. Like, I want to be a professional football player. Like now. What you think? I'm going to take a sabbatical. I'm going to start working out. And I think I'm going to make it, right? Because I believe it. Why are you laughing? That's hurtful that you guys are laughing at me. You guys, like, I've seen you walk through the auditorium. You guys are limping. Like, you're a mess. Like, there's no way you could do it. No! If I believe it, I can achieve it. Or is reality set by God's choice? If it's God's plan, then you were made on purpose for a purpose. God has a design for your life. We all want to be something different. Like to me, like I want to be a musician, right? Like I want to be that. If you said you can give up your preaching and you could learn how to play an instrument and sing a song, you know what I would do? I would start singing. But I'm relegated to this because I have no talent. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And if he made you male, biblically, you need to submit to what he's called you to be, to your masculinity. And if he's created you to be a woman, you need to submit to that. Why? Because God doesn't make mistakes, and who you are is not an accident. He has a plan for you. He has a design for you. See, but you say, like, that's not what I feel. That's not who I feel like inside. I want you to know that at the heart of all sin is people stepping back and looking at God and saying, somehow you got it wrong, God. You made a mistake. I'm going to do something different. Think about all the sin. You look at Scripture. Somebody coming to the place by saying, God, obviously what you said is not right, and therefore I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it my way. Adam and Eve in the garden. What happened? Don't eat from the tree. Don't eat it. God, you must have messed up. You must have got it wrong. I want to do it differently. David on a roof looking at Bathsheba. Like, seriously. David knew what he was supposed to do, but somehow he goes, God, you don't get it. Did you see her? I want to do something differently. I want you to know that when it comes to sexuality, sexual identity, when it comes to heterosexual lust, or when it comes to homosexuality, what it comes down to is this, is that people are living in life and saying this, God, somehow you messed up and I want to do it differently. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, and it won't be on the screen. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. There are consequences. I want you to understand that there is a blueprint that God has given in his word for how we are supposed to live. And there are times that we go outside of that blueprint and do different things. When it comes to sexuality, we go outside the blueprint. There are people who love to point the finger at whatever. Can you believe it? Those people had an affair. So those of you here, I want you to raise your hand. Kidding, don't raise your hand. How many of you had premarital sex? Oh. So you're willing to look at the speck in someone else's eye when you have a log in your own? Those who sit there and go, I can't believe it, they're those homosexuals. You want to raise your hand if you have an issue with pornography at any point in your life? Folks, listen to me. God has given us a blueprint, and this is what he's called us to. And when we say, God, somehow you made a mistake, we're going to do it our own way. We go outside the blueprint. And my tendencies may not be your tendencies and vice versa, but I want you to know my tendencies are outside the boundaries of what God has called me to do and whose God has called me to be. If you have any mistake in what the Bible says, I believe it's true. I don't ask if it's good. I believe it's true. And here's God's guidelines. Pretty simple. It's one man and one woman in the context of a covenant relationship before God that we call marriage. That is God's plan. So if you're in the room and you are gay, you're outside of God's blueprint. If you're in the room and you're living together, you're outside of God's blueprint. If you're in the room and you're married, but you're having a relationship with somebody else besides your spouse, you're outside the blueprint that God has called you to. If you're in the room and you're not married yet and you're single and you're dating and you're having premarital sex, you are outside the guideline of God's blueprint. So before we start looking at people and start poking people and calling them names and looking at them saying, why are they in our church? Why are those people in our church? Listen to me. Look in a mirror and realize that we have a log in our own eye. And all we're asking God to do is to help us to come into conformity to His Scripture, to His Word, to what He's called us to. I hope that you don't feel like I'm being mean-spirited up here. I just want you to realize that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we are a ministry to serve people who have fallen short of the glory of God. We attract imperfect people, and we will continue to serve them. We will love them, and we will do whatever we can to help them to become less like this world and more like God. It's about life change. That's our mission. So one of the things I want you to know, too, is you're not alone. The verse says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. All of us are going through different things. We all have different tendencies. Some of you may struggle with anger. Some of you may struggle with lust. Some of you may struggle with you're coveting people, other people's stuff. I don't know what your tendencies are. But God has given us the strength to overcome whatever it is. But all of us, when it puts us all in the category, we have all fallen short of God's glory. We all have our issues. We all have our tendencies. The problem is this, that in today's generation, more people are they determine what they do based upon their feelings. This is how I feel. This is who I am. This is what I need to do. And who are you to tell me to do something differently? Because I feel this way. Do you guys like that? Like, isn't that great? Do what you got to do. It's who you are. You are the captain of your own ship. Do you want to run that logic out in society today? So those who cheer that on, everybody do what's right in their own eyes. Yay! Let's run that out. So your 13-year-old daughter comes to you and said, I fell in love with a 35-year-old man. Are you going to say to her, yay, good for you. Go with that feeling. Who am I to tell you not to live that way? Somebody walks up to you and says this. I've fallen in love with your spouse. Good. That's awesome. You need to go with that. Your kid comes up to you, 12 years old, wants to drop out of school. I feel like it's better for me if I drop out of school right now. Okay, good. You go with that. Everybody doing what's right in their own mind leads to anarchy, and it's crazy. If you think your feelings are the best roadmap for living life, you're mistaken. Because the Bible says that our heart is deceitfully wicked. Listen to me, if I do what my natural tendencies are to do, I would be out of ministry. You go ahead. You do what you feel like doing. Everyone here has the same problem. We have wrong desires, we have wrong thinking, and our responsibility is to subdue it, to fight it. Just because I have certain tendencies, it doesn't mean I go with it. I need to subdue it. I need to fight it. I need to say, God, bring me in conformity to your word. Bring me into conformity with your blueprint. Help me live the way that you've called me to live. Do you know that 90% of violent crimes in America are committed by men? You know why? Because men have 8 times more testosterone in their system. So you know what we should do? We should give men a pass in violent crime. Why? Because it's a biological reality for them. Look at all the testosterone flowing through them. Why would we hold them accountable for the way they feel? God wired us a certain way, but he still calls us to conformity to truth. And when we go outside of those bounds, there are consequences. Even if you have a ton of testosterone in your system, God never justifies you being violent. So be careful. When we go, that's who I am. That's the way God wired me. Our feelings are a very dangerous roadmap to follow. One of the things that I appreciate is that we have each other. Says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of our responsibilities in the body of Christ is that we come alongside each other and we help. And while your tendencies may be different than my tendencies, you need help just like I need help. We need people to come into our lives and to speak into our lives, to challenge us in the way we think and the way that we're living, the things that we're saying. As we walk through life, we need people who are looking out for us to say, whoa, 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 come here. Do you understand how you just came across in that situation? Do you understand what just happened? And for your good and for the glory of God, people hold you accountable and say, let's be more than that. Let's represent Christ well in every situation. We have each other. In my ministry, one of the things that I want to create is an environment that I don't want to apologize for where I stand when it comes to sin. When people come to me, if it's sin, I'll call it sin. But I want you to know that I refuse to abandon people who are going through a tough time and living with the consequences of walking in a broken world. We are here for each other, to serve one another and to help each other. We can so easily walk down that road. Why? Because it's all around us. We're consumed in this broken world with heartache, frustrations, hurts, and habits and hang-ups. And as a family, we come together and say, how can I encourage you? How can I support you? How can I help you to live the way God's called you to live? So when people walk through that door, I embrace them. I will not abandon them, and I pray that God will use us to encourage them to become everything they were intended to be in Christ. That's what our mission is about. It's funny, people attack Bridgewater, and they call us like gospel light, like somehow like we're just wimpy on truth. It's amazing to me, because we address sin. We just don't kick people when they're down. People are hurting, and they're broken. What are we going to do? We're going to pull a shotgun out and shoot them? Oh, you're naughty. I grew up in a church like that. Somebody made a mistake. It's like, pile on. This is awesome. They walk up. Boom. Seriously, it's like, let's get them. That's not what I see in the life of Christ. I see Christ coming along people who are committing adultery and saying, listen to me. You guys want to attack her? If you don't have any sin, then you throw the first stone. And he looked at her and said, listen to me. You go and you sin no more. Folks, is that gospel light or is that gospel ministry? We are here for each other. And I want you to know, not only do we have each other, we have Christ. So when you walk through that door, I hope that you don't look to the worship team and go, wow, they're awesome. Or there's a pastor up here, he's a little crazy once in a while, but yay. We want you to see Jesus, because I make mistakes, the band makes mistakes, but the one who will never forsake you, the one who will never leave you, the one who will always be the answer to your problems is Christ. And so we point people to him. And I hope somewhere in this process you see him. Third, and I got to hurry up. We need to put off and put on. Let's go to the verses. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. I want you to know that the scripture is uncomfortable for all of us. If you spend time in God's word, at some point it's going to be uncomfortable. You read through the book of Proverbs and you'll see principles that you just violated that morning. And as you read it, you go, oh man. It's uncomfortable for all of us as we're trying to conform to the image of God, as we're trying to be like him in character. I'm telling you what, when we fall short and we read God's word, it's going to cost us something. When I was younger, it's more the things I did on the outside. Today, it's the things that I struggle with on the inside. It's my thoughts. It's my attitude. It's my motivation. Am I doing what God's called me to do for his glory alone? And I have to wrestle through these things. And he says this, in your Christian life, if you want to be like him, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, there are things that you have to put off and there's things that you have to put on. He gives examples in verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for you're all members of one body. It's not enough just to stop lying. It says this, that we need to speak the truth. Put off the lies and put on truth. It goes on in 28 and says this, anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So it's not enough to just stop stealing. Go get a job. And instead of taking from people, go get a job, work, take your resources to serve other people, to give to them. It's not enough just to put one off. You must put this on. It goes on in 29. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that you may benefit those who listen. So as parents, don't just stop talking nasty to your kids. Step into their life, speak into their life, and encourage them and help them. Be a support to them. Be God's representative to them to say, what can I do to help them to become more like Christ? And finally, we need to remember our destiny. Hebrews says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Someday these bodies will not be our home. This earth will not be our home. Someday, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will stand in the presence of him or bow in the presence of him. And it says when you see him, you should be like him. Those things that you struggle with today, those desires that you struggle with of the flesh, it says this, man, it will be gone. Because when we see him, we will be like him. There will be a transformation that will take place. But can I encourage you? Don't rest in the fact that someday glory has been promised to us. Today, every day that God gives us, can we be conformed in whatever way it is into the likeness of God? I think God's word is really clear when it comes to things like transgender issues and really clear when it comes to homosexuality. But this is a message for every one of us. Every one of us has to put things off and put things on to be in compliance to what God has called us to be. Some of my favorite verses in Scripture are found in Romans chapter 12, and it says this, and I want you to listen carefully. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That talks about a metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Our whole life is a transformation. It's about life change. And today I want to challenge you, no matter what your tendency is, to put off those things that are based upon feelings and put on those things that God calls us to. That's where God finds pleasure in you. That's where God's going to use you. And I think that's where you'll find that abundant life that is promised in Scripture. Folks, listen to me. As a ministry, we want people to feel like they belong, but we want to all help them to become less like this world and more like God. Father, I thank you so much. Tough topic. As we talk through it, as we think through so many of the things that we struggle with in our society that have to do with sex and sexuality. But God, I pray that in all of it, that we will be conformed into your image, that we'll be challenged to live differently, not only because it's what you've called us to, but ultimately because we want to please you. And Father, if there's something in us, something in our lives that is a barrier between you and us, I pray that you would help us remove that barrier and that we would be all in when it came to just living our life for you. But thank you. Thank you for being a gracious God. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for being forgiving. And help us this week to become more like you. We ask in your son's name. Amen.